Blog Talk Radio.
5, 6, walking forward. Not yet. Go!
I like when she says, not yet, go. See how I kind of, like, cut it off there?
Not yet, go. Woo!
Yeah, and then we go. All right, and that was awesome. I'm Reuben Wolf.
And that was awesome. Damn it, I missed my cue. And I'm Sean Gibbs. I'm a little slow. I'm older. Okay. I'm older than Reuben, so I'm behind.
Sean's memory is slipping because of all that coke he did in the 80s.
I wish. I wish I could have been that cool.
Did you snort pixie sticks when you were a kid?
No, but we huffed rubber cement.
What?
Yeah, I also got caught. The only time I ever sniffed airplane glue, I got caught by my mom. So I never did that again. It was terrible, though.
So they, wait,
yeah,
what, like,
I listened to too much of the Ramones, and they always talked about sniffing glue. So I decided to huff a bunch in a plastic bag one night. And it was like tripping on acid and being really dizzy with a really intense ringing in your ear that wouldn't go away. It was horrible.
Huh.
It was absolutely horrible.
Lesson learned. All right, this is season 1, episode 6. Who are you going to telephone? And that's in reference to what we're going to find out, because it's a Halloween episode. It's our first Halloween episode.
Oh, I'm such an idiot. I just put 2 and 2 together. Who are you going to telephone? I'm like, why did they call it? I don't understand this title. God,
oh, so Pop says it as soon as he enters the house.
Oh,
did you get it?
God,
did you see that? This is the funny thing. For all the people listening, I'm so unprepared for this because I had such a busy day and week. And Sean has watched the episode twice. But I got it.
See, I told you. Like, it's still fresh in your brain, even though, like, maybe I just was being lackadaisical the first time and lackadaisical the second time. But, like, yeah, there's a lot of little droplets of hints of what's to come in the first few seconds of every episode.
Yeah, and this is there's a little bit of mythology building here. And one thing I really like is this is even though it's not, like, the main focus of the story, this is a pretty – this is, like, an Erica development episode. We get a little bit of Erica being nice. Here.
Yeah, I don't know what changed. I started to like her a little bit, and I felt weird about that.
Why? Because she's
not like in
him?
A sexual way. No, just because I didn't really care for her for the last few episodes. And this one, I was kind of like, something.
Yeah, I told
different.
You they do Erica's story arc is really cool, and I really enjoy it. So should we jump right in?
Sure.
Okay, so the opening narration is Halloween in the 80s. It sounded really dangerous. Like, the costumes were flammable. All the candy had gluten, which I don't think is a problem with candy, if I'm being honest. And the haunted houses didn't require legal waivers. Like, what is this, like, the Wild West? Like, what's going on in the 80s?
Oh, it's totally the Wild West. We used to go sneak out, like, my buddy and I would sneak out with other people's friends and brothers who had cars and go to weird, places that didn't have permits that were haunted houses. Like, you know, we would try to find the most decrepit ones we could. And yeah, it was super sketch. Like, you felt like most of the people running it were either carnies or ex-cons, and that's fine. But yeah, you felt like there was a sense of abduction going on.
Wow. I will say though, I think the 80s was the best time for, like, costumes and, like, core costume inspirations, because one of my first Halloweens I remember, I dressed up as a Terminator, and my mom has a picture of it. I wore
whoa,
like, her leather jacket. So, like, I'm in this, like, ladies' leather jacket with, like, sunglasses and, like, my hair spiked up. I felt like a total badass.
Did your friends think you were a badass?
I mean, not when you're, like, 6.
Oh, you were
or however old. Yeah, I was a Terminator.
And your
was
mom
like
let you watch the Terminator when you were six? Wow, you had very liberal parents.
So I had a I grew up in Florida, and we grew up not about 2 hours away from Universal Studios. And when I was younger, they opened up the Terminator 2 experience, and it was the coolest thing. It was just this like 4D experience, and it was the coolest thing. And I was like, "Mom, what is this movie?" She's like, "The Terminator. I got to show this to you." And Terminator 1 and 2 were like my movies growing up. I was blown away. I still am to this day. They're my favorite movies. Some of my favorite movies.
When I was younger, I used to do more drugs, and some buddies of mine were in Lawrence, Kansas, and we woke up on the day of the opening of Terminator 2. And we got crazy high and went and saw that. And I think I was a little damaged after that movie. Not just the fact of the movie being so intense, but just being in Lawrence, Kansas and being that high was always just – there's a lot of – I would call them pig people out there. Anyway, that's
what?
Another podcast. There's a lot of fat people, just enormous people out there.
Oh yeah,
I'm
definitely.
Not fat shaming. I'm Midwest shaming.
So Adam's costume is a giant Rubik's cube, which was introduced in 1980. Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just gonna say the Rubik's cube was introduced in 1980. What's your Rubik's cube?
The timeline on this whole episode is so out of control. But his Rubik's cube outfit was sick. And he's talking about, I'm going to make my own outfit. And I'm like, what? Did he have a degree in engineering? Like, that thing was perfect. Like, you couldn't have made that better.
Oh, I know. Like, every line was so straight. Like, all the corners were perfect. I don't know how he did that.
Yeah. It seemed like it was manufactured on another planet or something.
And not only that, he went as a completed Rubik's Cube. And I was like, this would have been cooler if he was just like a freshly opened Rubik's Cube where it's like crazy and you're like,
that'd be pretty intense. Oh, you know what's even creepier than Halloween was in his hamper while he's getting dressed is like one of those weird, creepy Raggedy Andy dolls.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I barely caught it. I had to like pause. I was like, that seemed like something that he would have had maybe 5 years prior, maybe. And even then, those things were, it was one of those flat Raggedy Andys. I don't know. I just always got the creeps by those things.
And you would think he wouldn't be like too into those dolls after the Poltergeist episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you'd think he would get rid of all those. Or maybe he replaced. He was like, I can't handle this creepy clown doll. Let me get a really cool Raggedy Andy doll.
Yeah, terrible.
Go ahead.
We're going down the same highway. Keep going. We're ending each other's sentences, is what we're doing.
Sandwiches.
Anyway.
I don't know. So Adam is so – I wanted to point out Adam is so up his own butt about the way he looks. He thinks he's a friggin' man. And Bev's like, you're so cute. And he's like, I'm not cute. I'm friggin' awesome.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
He's such a man.
I'm the coolest guy. Or she's like, I'm the coolest – he says, I'm the coolest guy in town. And then Mom tries to put a safety jacket on and says, safety is the coolest cat in town. Oh, my God.
Then,
I started to love these writers. Some of their one-liners are really good.
This episode in general, like, again, I just finished it. I have so many – this episode had so many funny lines.
Yeah,
I
wrote down a ton of them.
This particular scene, though, had a lot of good ones, especially with Bev and Adam fidgeting about the safety vest. She goes, like, no one will even know. I'll just staple it. No one will even notice. And he says, it's reflective. It's designed to be noticed.
And then you have in the background Murray just minding his own business, which he's always really good at doing. And I was like, what the fuck is he eating? He had like a whole bowl of either carrots or pumpkin. And it makes sense because there's pumpkins that are carved on the table, but he's just mowing down on this bowl of orange stuff.
Oh, I didn't see that. Like, you're so good at picking background stuff.
Yeah, that's my my go-to. From doing so much improv in the background, I'm always picking out like little pieces to play with.
But we're gonna see what gets Murray's attention, because Adam says that instead of he's not going with Pops this year. Evan Turner.
Turner, who's super cool.
It's super cool. Evan Turner is invited Adam to go trick or treating with them. And
yeah,
he
let him cheat on his social studies paper
and we
for his test.
And then this is what gets Murray's attention is Evan's dad owns an Arby's, so he gets free roast beef all the time. And maybe we'll get roast beef if we're nice to him. And Murray's like, sold. This is the kid.
Yeah,
why
I love
this
kid. Oh my God. Adam, go ahead.
I was going to say, Murray's munching on a bowl of carrots or pumpkin. I bet he's fantasizing about roast beef from Arby's.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And apparently Evan Turner runs in higher circles and wears a shark tooth necklace. And at Arby's, they give you a cup at the counter and you go serve yourself your own soda. There's no rules there. That's how wild and crazy his friend Evan Turner is.
And then I love how Murray vouches for Adam and he goes like, he's going at this box thing. And I'm like, you know, Sean, do you know what the biggest selling toy of the 1980s was?
Pogs? No.
The Rubik's Cube.
It was, actually. I had a couple.
Murray doesn't know what a friggin' Rubik's Cube is.
Yeah, that was a little... Yeah. I had the regular one, and then I had the keychain one. And the keychain one never worked really well. It was more ornamental. And I had a friend who was a marathon runner, and he was like a math genius as well. He used to do math Olympics, and he was able to solve it. Crazy. No, he even had the double cube. Did you ever see those?
Oh yeah, those are huge.
They were like, they like had twice the amount of cubes on them, so it was like 15 times as hard to solve. And my buddy could just tick, fix that too. Anyway, we're getting hung up on the Rubik's cube.
Well, what were your cube skills like?
Terrible. I think a couple times I've got two sides together, but I could never get three. Like my all my friends who were kind of smart in like algebra and stuff, they could do like three. I don't know why I say algebra. That doesn't have anything to do with. Wouldn't it be more trigonometry? I don't know.
I could not. I never saw, I didn't grow up in the 80s, but I had like one or two, and I would do like one, two, I can't figure this out, and just kind of throw it. I was such a defeatist when it came to the Rubik's Cube.
It's painful. It's made to make you feel like a piece of shit.
There's tricks to it. There's like a methodology to it. Like, you're not supposed to move the centerpiece or something like that, from what
I've
heard.
Yeah, I could never wrap my head. I spent months and months on that damn thing.
So Pops comes in as a Ghostbuster and says the famous line, "Who are you going to telephone?"
And is that when the theme song kicks in?
The what? No, not yet.
Is that when the theme?
We'll get there.
Oh,
we'll get there. We got a little bit more to go. So I just wanted to point out that Pops assumes that Adam's going to go as a Ghostbuster. Pops is Venkman, and Adam is Spangler. I don't know if you noticed that. I picked that up.
Yes. Yes.
I would be Venkman. I want to be Venkman, too.
don't know who I'd be if I was in Ghostbusters. I'd go as a ghost, probably. Make some weird, blobby, gross, disgusting, slimy, not get me laid outfit.
I don't want to give away the ending, but you'd go, so you relate to Beth more.
I was like, the what? The Barry?
The what?
I was like, the what?
You related to Bev more, because Bev at the end. I don't want to give away the ending yet, but Bev at the end.
Okay. Sorry, sometimes it's a little hard to hear. I got my volume up all the way.
Okay, so Ghostbusters came out in 1984 and was the highest grossing film that year. I said Terminator is one of my favorite movies growing up. Ghostbusters is my favorite movie of all time.
Really?
No, wait. Goodfellas is my favorite movie of all time.
It sounds like Ghostbusters.
I love Ghostbusters. It is so endlessly quotable and so funny. Any other thoughts about the scene before we move along to our next plot point?
No, but Ghostbusters was massive. Oh, I'm so close to figuring out who they stole that song from. They're stylizing the song after a certain 80s metal band, like a glam rock band, and I just can't figure it out. I will figure it out.
Dude, tell me what you know.
Well, I mean, the keyboard stuff has, like, Atari, like, video game kind of sounds to it. But I could totally, like, almost see the band's, like, lineup, but I can't figure out what song it is.
Okay,
it's not
well,
White
what do you
Snake,
know?
But it's like, pre-White Snake. Sorry. Let's keep moving.
I mean, when you know, let me know, because I'm like, it doesn't sound like anything to me. But I didn't have clue to listen to the remote.
Footnote, we come into the next scene, and there's a sick Public Enemy poster on the wall that didn't come out until 1988.
Ooh, good catch.
Yeah. And then somebody's dressed up like the Incredible Hulk, which wasn't really big, except for in the early 80s.
I have a theory about this. So I think Barry had taped episodes of The Incredible Hulk and had a VCR.
Yeah,
in
I
room.
Can believe that.
How much was the VCR?
I can see him being very nerdily, very far behind pop culture, but very on top of pop culture at the same time, which I think is a very prevalent thing that was in the 80s for sure. There was kind of a retro thing going on at the same time it was trying to be really modern. So, yeah, that kind of makes sense with the Incredible Hulk.
How much was a VCR back then? We know that this family is, like, stupidly rich without admitting how stupidly rich.
I think the good ones were – the programmable ones were $300, $350.
No, and Barry
that
had one.
That's a lot
room.
Of fucking money, but. Oh yeah, dude, I didn't notice that. No way, I did not have a television in my room until I want to say I was 17, 18, and that's just because it was like a hand-me-down from like the early 80s that was like really old, and then I. Think I had cable. Yeah, I had cable, but no way would I have had a VCR down there.
Also, what is Barry painting his skin with?
Yeah.
Barry's dressed up like the Hulk, and he's all green, and I don't know, like, what. I'm like, what is it? Is it chalk?
Yeah, it seemed. He was doing such a good job at it, too, which is very meticulous.
I know, it was, like, all in his hair. It was, like, on every inch of his body. It's just, like, Hulk out. But then he has the shirt on, like, with the six-pack abs. He's wearing a shirt instead of just, like, going shirtless.
Yeah. Well, he's a little softer on the edges.
You're right. I love the line. So, Pop's So Pops comes into the room, sees what Barry's doing, and Barry goes, pretty much admits, like, I'm trying to woo, you know, he's trying to woo someone at this party tonight. And Pops goes, whatever you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, favorite line. I made me fall in love with him 100 times more. Such a poignant little thing. I don't know what you're doing, but you're doing it wrong. I think you're doing it wrong. Kind of passively, aggressively, just telling him he's an idiot. But yeah, that's a great, great line.
And then we see, and then we get to see Erica's costume, and she is a slutty Jane Goodall, which I think is like the funniest thing anyone could come up with.
That was definitely a head turner. And I was like, is she trying to be Crocodile Hunter? That's way before it's, I was like, what is going, like, this is not normal. And then Barry says, you look like, what is it, famous slut who lives with sluts in Slut Town.
Oh, Barry.
It was such a thing to call somebody a slut back then. Like, that was such an insult. Ooh, she's a
Can we just
slut.
Can we talk about Bev's parenting a little bit? She is not, I think this whole episode, Bev is like, has very questionable parenting. So first she's like, Erica, you're not going anywhere dressed like a slutty Jane Goodall. And all Erica has to do to change the table is say, well, Barry's going to get hurt by a girl. And Bev's like, oh, I don't care that he looks like a slut anymore. I don't know what's going on with Barry.
Yeah. She takes a 180. When she finds out that Lexi Bloom is having a party.
Lexi Bloom, the JCPenney model, the 14-year-old JCPenney model. Or however old
how
Barry
hot
is.
How hot is that if you would have been dating a JCPenney model back in the day?
I get, what were the child labor laws back then where, like, you can't, like, work to build a building, but you can model for JCPenney at 17 or 16 or however old Barry is.
Yeah, totally. The crazy thing about JCPenney models is I went to the same junior high as my mother did, and I had the same math teacher as my mother did. Like, all the teachers never left. But the teacher I had was a JCPenney underwear model, and everybody was...
Whoa! Like,
yeah, the big news on campus was that he was gay because he modeled men's underwear.
Oh,
and he was
men's
gay.
Underwear.
He was super gay. I mean, the more I think about how he looked now, like, he was something out of, like, a, what's that fetish drawing guy? I don't know. He kind of looked like the Marlboro Man meets Fire Island. But he was a great teacher. I liked him a lot. But he was a model underwear guy.
That's kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was cool.
That's weird. I
making the big
girls to be kind of a real guy.
He was a bit odd. I mean, he wasn't sure more.
Wait, there's something wrong with your volume.
Are you okay? Are you there?
Yeah, you're here. I got you now.
Okay. I think maybe I was drifting off into memory land. I noticed that our volumes go in and out on this for sure. Like, you're much louder right now than you were 10 minutes ago. Anywho, Lexi Bloom.
Maybe because I'm leaning forward, but Adam meets up with the Evan Turner gang, who's dressed in all black, and Adam is a freaking Rubik's Cube. And he's like, what do you mean we're not going trick-or-treat? What do you mean the coolest kid in school is not going trick-or-treat? Dude, I trick-or-treated until well into high school. I'm gonna admit this. Oh yeah, I love, forget it, candy. I would go out and get candy. If there was free candy being offered, you best believe I was gonna hunt it down.
I think sixth grade was my last year. Might have been seventh, but I think it was sixth. I thought the cool kids might have been dressed as Cobra Kai from Karate Kid when I first saw them, because they were all in black.
I thought they were like Antifa or something.
Yeah.
all black, dressed in all black.
Oh.
Anyway,
no, those guys used to dress in all white back then.
So Adam's like, yeah, screw it, I'll be cool. I'll go be cool. But that, so back at the house, Pop decides to take over the handing out the candy duties. And I love when he answers the door and it's like Yoda and Obi-Wan. And he's like, don't let this die. What was it again? You know what I'm talking about?
Enjoy it while it lasts. They break your heart. They break your heart. I love Al. Albert. He's definitely my favorite. But
did you notice that Obi-Wan kind of looked like Mark Hamill?
Yeah, actually, come to think of it.
It's like these big eyes.
Yeah.
I thought it was like Mark Hamill for a second. I don't know if it was, though. I didn't look that up to verify it. Maybe I should have. Darn it. So Pops is clearly distraught that Adam didn't want to take him up on his Ghostbuster. I don't know, Sean. Put yourself in Adam's shoes. Like, what would you have done? Would you have gone with Pops? Would you have gone as a Ghostbuster?
No, I would have gone with the cool kids and egg the neighborhood and just cause general mayhem because I wanted to please the cool kids.
Oh, we would not.
Oh,
have
yeah.
Growing up.
Oh, yeah. What does he say earlier? Something about Evan Turner thinks I'm cool or something. Yeah, it was weird. I was thinking about that, like, back in the day, that was, like, one of the biggest things in your entire life was to be considered cool by the cool kids and to hang out with the cool kids. And I'm like being older, if someone thought I was cool, like, right now, I wouldn't necessarily want to hang out with them.
If you could believe it, I think I was, at points, I think I was the cool kid growing up sometimes. In fact, I still am.
I wasn't the cool kid until high school. Junior high, I was kind of cool.
I would not go back to those days. I would not.
No, I hated that shit. It was horrible. Especially in the Midwest. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. Terrifying, awful. That's why I did so many drugs while I was in school, trying to escape the prison of brainwashing that was going on.
On a lighter note, I love.
Don't invite me when the mom's in for wine, is what she tells
right.
Al when she leaves him alone. That's another great line.
Can we back up just a little bit when Bev finds the JCPenney magazine and Al's like, some kids do that. Or like, what was it, like, Barry's at that age. Or so he thinks Barry's touching himself to the JCPenney magazine.
Exactly. She's on the front cover.
And since Bev knows that Lexi Bloom is going to break Barry's heart, I love the line. I might sound a little warped or biased, but Barry is the most handsome man on the entire planet.
Yeah, that's when I started to get the cringy, weird feelings, and I knew shit was going to go wrong.
Because Bev decides, I'm going to go to this party and talk Barry up to Lexi Bloom. What could go wrong? I'm just being a good mom. And I wrote down Murray's defense, and I'm not sure what it was. I can't remember what it was now.
His defense for her going to the party, or not going to the party?
When he's like trying to tell her, like, don't do it.
Oh, promise me you're not going to go. Promise me with your life that you're not going to go to the party.
And Bev's like, I'm just going to go get some candy. So
yeah,
next
I'm
going to
go get some more Rolos.
Rolos.
God, I love
Everyone
Rolos.
Loves Rolos.
I could fuck up some Rolos right now. Oh, my God.
Oh, I just bought gummy worms yesterday. I'm going to go ham on those after this. Anyway, so at the party, Bev shows up as a ghost, as a spooky ghost, like Charlie Brown-type ghost. And
terrible.
Erica is freaking mean as hell to Barry throughout this party. Because Barry's doing all this, like, pitching all this stuff. Like I'm going to go talk to her. I'm thinking about this pickup line. Hey, sexy Lexi. And Erica's like, brilliant. Do that. But then Bev finds Lexi and just is super creepy about how...
Oh, yeah.
Barry
what a foxy
is.
Young like, man. What a foxy young man Barry is. Oh, it's so gross.
With the dreamy brown eyes. Ugh.
You know the hottest guy in school? And then Lexi goes, Tom Overton? She's like, no. Like, Chris Warner? No. John Katz? No. Scott Barker? No. PJ Shandershaker? She goes, all chopped liver. I was like, oh, my God, that's so amazingly Jewish. All chopped liver.
Dude, this is my mom. My mom has totally talked me up to girls I was into, and I'm like, Mom!
Oh.
Dude, you're the sexiest person. It's very weird when you're at that age.
Lexi's like, isn't Barry the guy who's got angry because the kitchen ran out of pudding? And Mom's like, yeah, he's passionate. He runs hot. Oh.
That pudding bit is going to come back in a few times. That's a running joke throughout
what?
The series.
Nice.
Yeah, we're gonna see the pudding. Barry getting angry about the pudding. I don't know what it is about this cafeteria pudding, but Barry does not like when they run out of pudding. So Murray comes up with a brilliant idea to put the bowl out and just say take one. And lo and behold, 2 seconds later, all the candy and the bowl are gone. And I just want to point out the scene because I love this line. Murray's like, screw it, we can just give the kids coffee cake. And Al has the...
Yeah,
I think what? This is Al might have my favorite line in the whole episode with this one line. Great idea. Kids love coffee cake.
Yeah. See, that sucks, though, because I loved coffee cake when I was growing up. I love it. It's so good.
Well, we learned that...
Such an adult thing.
We learned that the problem is not the fact that Murray's handing out coffee cake. It's the fact that it's day-old coffee cake. And Evan Turner is like, not on my watch.
Yeah, let's get him.
Evan Turner
so
is so cool.
Stupid. Yeah, he's pretty
Evan Turner
cool.
is so cool right now. Papa, what did you do that was cool growing up? Oh, man, the family was handing out coffee cake on Halloween, and we wanted to egg the frickin' house. That's how cool Evan Turner is, everyone.
Yeah, Evan's got it going on.
So they decided to go egg the house, and I just want to say, the timing and Adam's aim, woo!
Yep, got Pops right in the kisser.
Murray opens the door. I guess he hears the eggs hitting the house, and he opens the door to see what's the shenanigans. And Adam beams him right in the – or eggs him right in the face. Who said Adam can't play sports?
Yeah, I don't feel like he'd have a good long arm.
I want to know, like, what did kids today do now, like, to vandalize for Halloween. Like, everyone's on their phone. Like, back then, you said, like, you would go egging houses and throw TV. I don't know if kids do that anymore.
Maybe they encrypt software with viruses and then send them to people's Facebook accounts or Insta. Excuse me. Sorry, I'm old. They send them to their TikTok accounts. Oh, where? Was it you? Somebody called somebody else a TikTok. As an insult. the other day, and it was so funny. I wish I could remember that. It was Nathan Two Beers? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's going to be a thing, by the way. Start calling people TikToks.
Let's talk about this next scene, because I have a huge problem with this next scene, and I think you know what I'm going to talk about. So Erica's being mean to Barry, saying, do something cool, and Barry starts to do this dance, and Erica's like, yes, do that again. Keep doing that. Keep being you, Barry. And Barry finally gets the courage to go up to Lexi and talk to her. And then he ends up spilling his drink on her.
And it wasn't even his fault.
It wasn't even his fault.
It was that
Hell
douchebag
yeah.
with the axe in his head who tried to dance with Beverly earlier, who I didn't like.
I bet that was John Katz. He's like, what is this goof talking to Lexi Bloom for? I'm like the third hottest guy in school. That's what I think.
Yeah. He's that guy.
Jerk. So Bev goes, Barry tries to wipe it off with his green paint hands. And Bev comes up, no, I have a tissue, it's fine. And Barry looks, and in front of the whole party goes, Mom? And this is kind of the problem with this.
I had lots of problems with it. My stomach is turning right now.
Let's put ourselves in Barry's shoes for a second. If I knew it was my mom at the party, I wouldn't say it in front of all the kids in my school.
No.
I would pull this person aside and say, can I talk to you outside for a minute? And then it'd be like, Mom? And
My skin is crawling right now. The hairs are like up on my arms. It's just,
I feel like your mom was so. I think my mom would totally do. I don't know if my mom would go this far, actually, but I think this seems like something my mom would do or, like, probably thought about doing.
I was thinking about this. My mother actually never helped me with shit with growing up with women and females and advice. It was always my aunt. For some reason, and she always gave me horrible advice, which always backfired. Yeah, I never got shit. Hang on.
Never got advice from.
I just got a text from John Listman, which is actually great.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. I'll just continue that.
But no. I never. My mom never would have. Shown up at a party to get involved with my feelings for another girl.
Speaking of good parenting, in the next scene, this also has some great lines. Like, what follows has some really great lines. So Murray is punishing Adam by revoking all his egg privileges. No more omelet.
Yes,
for
but you. Wait, wait. Oh, wait. We have to rewind. Sorry, I totally got derailed by John Listman. We forgot to. Talk about how mom says that how wonderful and delicious Barry is.
Oh, that's later. So, because Beth comes home. That whole scene has, like, so many great lines. We're going to get to them. I hope all of them. So Beth comes home, and she just doesn't care that Adam egged the house. And then Murray does some really good parenting, I think. Beth is, like, her terrible parenting has been exposed. And there's so many good. You're right. There's so many good lines.
We're like doing somersaults over each other. But I don't want to lose the omelet privileges. No more omelets.
Yes.
Egg privileges gone.
Well, yeah. And then I love when a little after that. What did Beth say something like? If he gets brokenhearted, then I will die. And Murray goes, I can't argue with that logic.
Yeah, that was a great line. God, how important were eggs to Adam in this? Like that, it must have been like a huge deal to be grounded from eggs.
I think
maybe
Murray's
that's his
just
favorite
talking.
Thing to eat.
He's I think Murray's just talking out of it. I think he's just being a dad and like has no idea what to do about his son. Just egg the friggin' house. But and I love a little bit. So Murray, but has this really great parenting advice. He says this time, just Barry's coming home, and Murray says, "Leave him, set the bed, just leave him alone." And Barry sits outside, and Erica comes up, and there's this really sweet Barry Erica moment, where Barry's like, "There's no like insecurity admission in this episode," and I think that's really nice. Just Erica says, "I wanted you to make a jackass of yourself, and I didn't imagine it would be this bad." And she apologizes and says, "We need to look out for each other." And I thought, wow, that's, like, really sweet.
Okay. I've watched this twice now. Right after she said, "If we don't look out for each other, no one will," or whatever the hell she says, there's this weird, awkward moment. I'm like, are they going to kiss each other? It was so awkward. I don't think they intended that to happen, but it was totally – they just kind of looked at each other, and there was this pause. I know they're trying to be dramatic, but maybe it's just that I watch too much porn. But it was just, I mean, that's not even porn. That's just, there was some other thing that I was watching where, I don't know. Maybe I just haven't kissed anyone in a long time, and maybe I'm just craving another human
so
being's
lonely.
Attention. I'm just so lonely
so
that
lonely.
I think that Barry and Erica are going to make out.
Oh, they hate each other. They love each other, but they hate each other. They have a real but I think this is a really good Erica development moment, because you know, like it shows that like we know Erica to be the rebellious person up until now, but this shows like Erica's got a big heart, you know. And also Murray's got a big heart too, because Adam's cleaning the roof and Adam says like, "I wanted to go trick or treating, it's just nobody else wanted to go," and Murray's like, "I know someone who wants to go." And then we get our song. We get a song of the week. I'm not going to play it. I was going to sing it, but I'm not going to do it. It's the Ghostbusters song.
Yeah. Which was stolen from Huey Lewis in the News.
That's right.
I've already talked about that. There was a huge lawsuit. Yeah, and then... Al's look on his face when they come walking out of the door is priceless. He's so determined to get his kid. He's so determined to get his grandkid candy.
Oh yeah, I'm looking
it's
at it.
Very,
now. He's ready.
He's
Al's
so ready.
Dude.
Oh yeah.
But Bev, look, I have a freeze frame too of Bev just like, "I want to be there. I want to be part of this." She runs it by Murray because Murray wears the pants in this episode, I think, in their relationship. Murray's got the upper hand right now, and she goes, "Every Ghostbuster needs a ghost," and Murray's like, "Just follow behind them." And Bev runs out chasing them.
Oh, first he says, "Just let them have their moment," and he's like, "Eh, go on, yeah, that kind of thing."
Yeah, Murray, I think this is a really sweet ending. I like this. For all the creepy characters.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the better episodes so far. I felt like with the pacing and the cringeworthy moments were really elevated really quickly. Like, everything was kind of cringeworthy. Like, even, Adam, like... when he first meets up with the cool kids is super cringeworthy because it's obvious he's not cool. Or he's super cool,
right?
Just not cool in the way that the cool kids think of cool.
Oh,
cringeworthy when Erica is dressed as Jane Goodall, but slutty. That's super awkward.
Yeah, and then we get our post-credit scene of Barry can't get the green paint off of him, and... oh, God, I didn't see the dedication, but I'm seeing right now it's a, "Dear Barry, I'm sorry." And it's this home video of the real Barry acting like a green monster. And, Sean, that was awesome.
That was awesome. That was so
much
fun.
See you next week. We'll see you next week with episode 7.
I'm Sean Gibbs.
Bye.
Yeah. See you later.